There it goes. All right, well. Take another trip to Albuquerque. Probably the last one I'm going to do for a while. Unless I take the job. And we shall see. We shall see. I really, air out this car on a regular basis. I take interesting people. I do a lot of interesting transport, and that's part of the fun. This is going through the Bluetooth mic. I hope it works okay. Man, I got this stuff rubbing all over the place. Either that or my... Well, there really is a larger problem with my my stuff. Something's going on. Something's rubbing. But that's going to be a continual problem with this car. I goofed it up at some point. And it doesn't matter how much I try to make sure things aren't rubbing. Things are rubbing. Let's hope it's not doing any serious damage. Okay. So much going on. You know, it's when I'm challenged a little bit, not that I'm saying I'm not challenged a little bit all the time, but it's when I get challenged a little bit that I start to do more creatively. I'm not saying I'm fast at all, golly, when it comes to creativity at least. But when it comes to trying to figure out what exactly to do, I don't, I'm behind this guy, and he's going to be getting on here, and he can barely do 10 miles an hour. Yeah, I'm stuck behind him. At least getting up here. So, I don't like talking about that too much, about the road conditions and such. I think my time's okay. I usually make it to Albuquerque about half an hour before I really need to be somewhere and need to be doing something. Oh, my poor wife, Lisa, she's trying to help me as much as she can, but there's not a lot she can do because she really doesn't understand anything about what I do or the circumstances I'm in. She thinks I should shut up and just listen to people. And you go, Lisa, I'm doing a job interview. They want to know if I fit them. And you go, they just to try to get kind of a weird sense of balance, they will actually spend time telling you what their environment's like. I said, but they really want to hear more from you. They want to ask you a question. They don't want you to say just yes or no, or if it's a yes or no question, they just don't want yes or no. They want expansion, and that's really tricky for her to get because she comes from a big world where, you know, when she was an employee, it's mostly, you tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. And she never came from a world where it's like, oh no, they want you to grab something and go with it. They don't want you just to be obedient. That was one thing that I think really irked the heck out of my supervisor in New Mexico Tech, was that I was saying, hey, you know, until I'm off probation, I'm not suggesting anything crazy. I'm not doing anything. And he was really quite upset with that. He went, oh, fine. And I think his attitude about it was more correct than mine was, that he just really wanted me to dive in and start doing stuff and start being crazy. And to be honest, and this has to do with a whole lot of what I ultimately kind of came up with for, how things are supposed to go, you know. This is the whole thing of you get this job, you kind of take over, you make the environment your own, and it becomes your job for life. And I'm not that kind of a guy, especially when it comes to technology. I can do technology, I can understand these things. I could come up with something really interesting, and I have on occasion. My tendency is always to roll those back and try to turn them into something standard to try to help the poor people that have to follow after me. And there will always be somebody following after me. I am not a live and die in a position. I talked to Lisa about it. It's typically first we talk about it like a butterfly. A butterfly flitters off from one flower to another. It doesn't stick around very long. Of course, people thought, oh, but butterflies are beautiful and marvelous and things, and I said, oh, well, then I better not use that. I'm more like a moth. So, look at me kind of as the moth guy, and you'll start to get a better take on the kind of guy I am. The way things kind of go. So, I was approached yesterday. I got a phone call. I don't usually get a lot of unsolicited phone calls. And I did get one, which is interesting. And it was for a contract job. Contract job to sting a bunch of servers. I don't think it really matters what the job actually was. It was going to be a job that was going to be just kind of a ramp up thing. And they just wanted one spot thing done, that they really didn't have anybody that was really felt very very competent in doing it. There's not very many generalists anymore, or people who would just take on new things. There's people who kind of like dig it in like a tick and grab it on, and really just wanting to have one particular job that they do. It's not that they can't learn new things. It's just that they're kind of reticent to do it. And if they can get out of it, they will. And you need a bunch of those people to do just regular maintenance on things. Which is what I think that my guys were really about. And you really want somebody, you know, and if you're the kind of person that kind of goes, man, I got into this because it was interesting and a little exciting, and you go, the statement of how things are is boring. Boring, 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 boring. It's kind of like a drug. I mean, you can keep taking it, but your mind starts shutting down, and you just start kind of just showing up for work every day. And Eastern, after I've gotten done with the big project that I had kind of, it wasn't what that was, what the job was. It was that, you know, it was a sustainment operations, just kind of keep things going job, take complaints, take care of things like that, that kind of a mindset. And you go, no, I'm a project. I love projects, man. I love digging in with something and figuring out how you're going to do it, mapping it all out. Maybe not even mapping it out particularly. And I had thought early on that I wanted to be a project manager, but to be honest, I said, no, I don't want to be that person that just runs. There's certain philosophies of how you do things, and everything has, and you pick which philosophy you want to fall into. And I'm a person that doesn't. You know, they say, well, you're kind of agile, and you go, yeah, I am until I'm not. And you know, they go, well, you're kind of a waterfall guy. You like to do some pre-planning, and you go, yeah, I guess I kind of am until I'm not. And then you go, well, what are you? And you go, I don't fit into one. This is, I kind of fly by the seat of my pants, to be honest. This is, but I'll get you what you guys need. Like, okay, so, all right, this guy came out to me and said, this is a 6-12 month, and he was kind of flighty, so I'm thinking that it wasn't really well set out at all. They just needed this job done. They didn't know how long it was going to take. I might ultimately take it, but there's this other job that seems a lot more interesting, and it's for a piece of hardware and a piece of software that's really quite esoteric. I was reading about the company that makes it. And the product they had put together, and they changed gears at least twice in the development since like 2000 until now. It was a database. It's not a SQL database, but they got a SQL front end on it. So you can talk SQL to the front end, and the front end will turn it into the kind of query that actually pulls the information the database. It's not a SQL database. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Anyway, so I was this guy approached me, and I went, golly, you know, I usually get tired of my job after about a year and a half or 2 years. Once it starts getting a little kind of just a whole bunch of building stuff up. I have to be really honest. A lot of these jobs are asking for Ansible, which is that you build up a script and you give that script off to your minions, for lack of a better term for them, and those minions churn out what you want, thousands and thousands of desktops or servers that run according to this playbook, and then there's somebody up on top, which I guess is supposed to be me, who is constantly working these playbooks. And I said, you know, that's not bad. I don't know much about Ansible. So they come, they go, you don't have any experience with Ansible. And you go, no, I don't. And you go, but I understand the concept of it, and I understand how it works, and I understand the underlying infrastructure and things like that. things that are going to kick your butt ultimately. So anyway, that was how I figured out exactly what my role should be. Now, there is enough overlap between being a system administrator and being a system engineer that sometimes they'll put so many engineering tasks in a lead system administrator that you tend to go for system administrator jobs. But I basically end up being a system engineer, or at least that's what I've been doing for a while, even though I didn't really know what the title of it was particularly. I would sometimes bring that up because I would call myself like an application engineer, even though I was definitely being a system, an application administrator. I was definitely just following a script. Anyway, so there was this job speaking laptops. It was a contract job. He didn't really say whether it was going to be 6 or 12 months or whatever. And I said, you know what? Because I really been saying, I really don't want to have to do this commuting stuff. It's dumb and it's just a big spending of money toward no purpose. It made sense when I was working toward my pension. And this was how I was going to get pension work done. That made a lot of sense. So, that made having a little place, you know, the crash site out in Socorro, that gave that a definite purpose. And, certainly liked it that way. And, pardon me. Then I, and this is really typical for me. When I ask for help from the Lord and he's trying to guide me to something, he'll drag me. Now, hopefully I've gotten better at being faster, at being drugged toward the place where I need to go, where he knows I need to go. And so anyway, I didn't think much of the job. I looked up Stigging servers a little bit. I'd done it way back about 10 years ago. And I reacquainted myself with this. And I went, okay, so, yeah, I can do this. I can do this again. And although it's like, this is really kind of boring. The reason why they have it is because they don't really, they would rather pay some guys to do all that work and to get it going and then throw it to somebody else. So I did a little bit of research on contract work. And it's really interesting. I had already been doing a lot of the groundwork for being able to do contract work successfully for a few years. When we got off of employer health insurance and went with the Christian healthcare health share systems, various of them, depending on how they felt about Latter-day Saints, which they don't think much of Latter-day Saints. They usually think you're evil. I don't care, since they're, you know. I that was one thing, because that's one big reason why a lot of people take contract work, or don't take contract work and stay with regular employment, is because they'll know how they're getting health care. In the United States, health care, you get through your employer. Well, right now, one of the contracts, this contract that I'm looking at is with a contract agency, and they will provide you with health care through the contractor as opposed to through the actual employer. That's okay. It's all right, but I don't need it. You know, I said I just pay for it. I just pay for it across the board. I probably need to come up with some way to make sure that I can write it off some way on taxes, although I really don't care, you know. But it's great to always have more money, but I'm not going to kill myself doing it. It's probably going to be someday a good idea to actually get kind of an account to help me do this. Even though, you know what accounts do? The only thing accounts do is they do it on the same software that you do it on. You know, you buy a program or something. I use Free Tax USA because it works well for me. Pretty soon it won't even matter. But, you know, if you're doing contracting, it makes a little more sense to have somebody, if you're going to be able to pay it back. Getting tired of that noise back there. I know that's my vehicle, and I've taken it into two different places, and they were always wanting to shove it off and blame it on something else. Anyway, So I looked at contracting. I went, wait a minute. This sounds like, I mean, it sounded perfect for my personality type. In fact, I had just looked on Sunday. Or was it the Sunday before? I think it was the Sunday before. And I'd always typed out as an INFP, which is kind of the healer. Well, now, this last time I typed out, and this is done by an outfit that really does, that's really highly regarded as opposed to some free one. I paid, $14 for it. It wasn't huge. Anyway, so, my IQ is pretty high, 122. It's not amazing, but it's pretty high. And I started doing a little bit of research on doing contract work as opposed to other kinds of work, and I found, and I looked back on what I've been doing over the years, and by and large, I've been doing contract work. And the big problem was, is because I was doing it through regular employment, I looked bad. If you take a regular job, they expect you to do it for several years. Now, contract work, it's totally fine if you only do something for a couple of years, or even 6 months or 12 months. And I said, yeah, the pay is really good. Now, you know, they say, well, you don't get much in the way of benefits. And you're going, well, I don't give a flip about the benefits. I don't care about that. I don't go to the doctor. I don't like doctors. I won't go to a doctor until I'm inches within death. And then they'll say, well, if you would have come in 3 or 4 months ago, we could have saved you, but now you're just going to die. And it's like, well, perfect. Because I didn't want to have to be in here living the kind of life that you guys expect people to lead if they've got something that's basically terminal. Anyway, I'm sorry. Boy, am I. See, I am such a butterfly. I am so flighty. Six-month contracts may be really good for me, but that means that you're constantly looking for the next place to jump to. So you save a ton of money all the time. You know, you don't go crazy and go extravagant like you would if you had a really good paying job. Like, I don't know. When I was doing the CIO job, you know, the whole expectation was I'd be doing this job for years. Of course, the situation was horrible. It's like, I know. I'm sorry. I know I'm a horrible person. They go, you don't care about the college. And you go, no, because people can go someplace else and get this kind of training. This is, if you were totally exclusive and no one else was able to do what you did, and that there would be this huge hole in the universe if you stopped existing, then yeah, there might be some reason to say, we need to stay in here. And you go, no, it's just all you guys trying to protect your jobs, and I don't care. So I don't need to be here. You know, I don't need to be, you guys don't need me, who doesn't care about money and who doesn't care about the continuation of this particular college. You don't need me. And that was basically what it was. I was basically said, you know what, I'm not the right person for this. So, let's go. You know, I'm really good at what I'm, well, I don't know if I am. I've got a lot of talent, but a lot of talent is what you guys are after. I wasn't really sure exactly what they were after, except the continuation of their job. And that somebody up in Santa Fe had promised that their jobs would continue. And when I proposed something that I thought would actually make higher education continue in Tucumcari, so there would be a higher education opportunity in Tucumcari, that's not what they wanted. They wanted the continuation of their job, the situation. And I'm not saying they're bad people. I understand. I understand the mentality. I understand what they're going after, I think. But it just wasn't me. So it's like, you know, it's just, you need somebody in here that's willing to fight tooth and nail to keep these jobs. You know, the vast majority of the faculty at Mesa Lands was adjunct people anyway. And, they can find jobs in other places. It's becoming the kind of place where you need to be a little more flexible, and not that I'm trying to force anybody into it. Like I said, I'm not trying to force you. I came up and I was solving a problem. I thought this was the problem. But then I found out, you know, the whole thing about keeping keeping a college in Tucumcari. I didn't care what the name was. I thought that was the goal, and I was wrong. The goal was, we're all going to keep our jobs. And everybody around me felt betrayed because that was their mindset, was, I want to keep my job. I got hired here, I want to keep my job. And they were terrified that if Eastern came in, or some other entity, some larger university system or community college type of situation came in, that they wouldn't get hired back. And of course they had moved from other places with better possibilities to a little place where if their job died here, they would have to leave again. Some of them had even committed money to buying houses and stuff like that, which I tell nobody to do in Tucumcari. You know, I seem to recall when a friend of mine moved to town and he bought a house. And I said, why'd you buy a house? And he goes, well, it's because I don't, that's what you do. And you go, oh, I don't know if you should do that here. Now, it worked out okay for them. You have to take into account that there's a God in heaven, and that he will help you out more than what is normal. Although you can't, you know, it's tricky to do that when you deal with a lot of people that just don't acknowledge God on any level. Anyway, of course, college professors are among the worst for not having a God, and for, you know, thinking about, you know, well, I'm smart, I don't need a God. God's for poor people who believe in magic and the lottery. And you go, no, not really. He says, well, I don't know. You put faith in God, amazing things happen. Can I tell you that? Your interpretation of how it's going and how you see it's wrong, but I understand. So yeah, so no, I understand everybody being very angry at me, because I did. You know, I wasn't part of the team, and that was stated. Julio, which is a really good guy, and I like Julio. Julio spoke for the group, and he pretty much said, hey. If you're not in this with us, you shouldn't be here. And I was like, you know what? He's absolutely right. And I resigned the next day. And I hope they didn't give me much of a thought after that. I hope they just said, well, that's good. That means that we can go ahead and continue working our plans. And you go, if it comes together, that's great. It says it didn't solve the basic thing of I was the wrong person for this job. And probably the wrong person for a chief information officer to begin with. A chief information officer is supposed to be the great store of value in your organization, which means they got to stay with the organization. It says that I'm going to do something for a time. You know, if there's some big projects that need to be done, like I was totally good with the project of we're going to change our ERP to something far better. And it's like, well, that's a really, you know, it was a project. Now it's starting to work and starting to put all the things together for how you're supposed to kind of figure this out in a larger organization and try to get people's needs and what people foresaw as being a better situation than the one that we had. And then it finally kind of rolled back to being, no, it's going to be, we're going to stick with the one that we have, no matter how bad it is, and we're going to retrain people. And that became the plan, and then, yeah, it just, it just went all over. And then it was like, well, I'm being told what to do. I'm being instructed what to do. And you're going, you know what? What was going to be interesting about this job and what I came into this wanting to do, it's just not there anymore. And you're going, and that's okay. And so I understand objectives have to change based on circumstances. And I was one of the key players to saying this is probably what we just need to do according to the information I see and the things that I think can happen. Although I think that, well, no, there was really no money, period. That was the biggest problem. Although I think I had come up with a couple of plans, it was just going to be hard to sell it. Really hard to sell it. Although I was going to be working on it. Because there was newer players coming out that were really introducing new offerings, and they knew that they were going to have to pretty much, you know, kind of sucker you into it for free. There was a couple of things that were offered to us basically for free, knowing that we were going to have to pay for it somewhere down the road after we were really locked into it. And there was some student information systems that were kind of going like that too. I didn't have tons of time to do research on it, and I got sidetracked pretty quickly, and I would do a little work on it all the time, you know. I said, when it comes to doing the CIO's job, I think I was doing a good job of it. And if I didn't foresee huge financial problems going into the future for a very long time, and it's like, I said, I'm not going to be useful because I'm going to, Julio was right. I wasn't on the team. And you're going, you're right, I'm not. I came here to do something else. I came here to do the CIO's job. And you guys don't need a CIO. You guys, you know, said that I said, what you guys need is, you just need this stuff to happen as cheaply as possible. And a CIO is not the cheap way to do it. This is, you need to bring back the guy that was here before me. Not hard at all. Like I did, so most of the time, I didn't change very much. I did a little sustainment. I brought in a couple of things that the state was paying for, which is like, hey, this is exactly what we want. We want the state to give us the money for this. We don't want to have to try to figure out what we need to do. We just need to do this. We need to be as, anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so this guy kind of had said, well, you need to figure out if you really want to do contract work or not, because, you know, we don't want to do that. And then I started doing some research on, started looking at my own life and how I was doing things. And I said, you know what, Nemro, you've always been a contractor. You just didn't call it that. Because I would, people would get, my grandmother we rarely talked. This was my dad's mother. And I really hadn't had any contact with my grandmother Nemro. Since I was a little kid. We actually left California when I was 7. And you know, she was the grandma that lived about 2 hours away on the freeway. And, but I actually called her on my own just to say hi. I don't really know what instigated me to doing it. I know we probably talked about other things. I actually talked to my grandfather, too, which is the first time I had had, you know, he was a figure that I kind of avoided as a child. because he was all about taking care of stuff. He didn't like sanding the thing. I got excited once. He had a pool out in the backyard, and I wanted to go get the pool. So I ran and I went right through his screen door. He had a sliding glass door, and the actual door was open, but the screen was there, and I went right through the screen, and he got really mad at me for going through that screen. And yeah, I was like, what, maybe 5 or 6? But yeah, he got upset. And so I just stayed away from him. And, but he was actually really kind of nice and a good guy. And I said, you know what, I bet you he's a good guy. I know he's kind of wadded up in things, you know, and he doesn't want things to break or get messed up. I'm like that too. Anyway. So we had this conversation, but the really interesting thing was when I was talking to my grandmother and she was asking me about work and stuff like that, and I said, well, I was at the latter part of my work with New Mexico State. I had been there, I almost got to my ninth anniversary. I was about ready to get my 10-year pin from New Mexico State University for working for them for 10 years. Anyway, so I didn't have any plans for leaving at that time, although, anyway, but and she was so excited. She goes, you know, I was always so worried about you because you would just hop and hop and hop. You would go job, job, job. Just didn't seem to have any longevity in any of these jobs. And she didn't think much of it. And so she was very happy that I had that job. And of course, after that, I went back to really job hopping. And the only long job I had after that, when I was at Eastern, and I was doing a longer project and kind of got things pulled together a little bit, and can I be honest? It wasn't, you know, I was working at Eastern, and it was okay. It was a decent job. I liked the people okay. I liked the circumstances. What happened was that my mom had decided to move in with my brother. There was some health problems going on. And my brother Joe really felt bad because he had never gotten involved with taking care of mom particularly. And I don't know if I also was problematic there, because I am. I'm a flighty guy. And I think Bob liked me in that I left her alone on a certain level. I probably left her alone more than she wanted. Anyway, so mom was gone, but the house in Tucumcari was still there, and you know, it was in various states of just this disrepair, and it had been empty for a few months. And the whole question was, well, what are we going to do with that house there? And she said, I don't want to have anything to do with it. She quit claim deed it over to me. So it was all of a sudden my house to sell. She goes, you know, you can sell whatever money you get out of it. You can have it. I said, well, I'll share a little bit of it with you, Mom. I mean, it was your house. You would invest it. Anyway, that didn't matter. Anyway, and we had started working on it with the intent to sell it. And Lisa started working on it, stuff like that, because she had the time. This was certainly a time Matt had come with us to our house in Portales, and he was living there. And we had mostly left his stuff there in Tucumcari. Almost all of his stuff was still there. You know, we had just packed up some of his things and brought them over to the new house. Didn't really know what we were going to do with any of these things. And then it was like, wait a minute, we're done. It says we paid $600 a month for this house in Portales. Lisa never really liked Portales. She didn't really like the ward in Portales is okay. It was full of people that we had known for a very long time. Some of them, but Portales smells bad. Lisa's a very visceral person. I don't know if visceral is the right word. She is, you know, it's about smells and sounds and feelings and cold and hot and a thousand other things that makes Lisa feel either good or bad about a place. And Portales really didn't feel good to her. I don't think she was really into Portales. And we ultimately switched. And we decided that we would sell the place in Portales. The market was certainly better for Portales. Although I must say, the house that we got wasn't in a good location at all and was a very strange house. I don't live in anything, to be honest. That's why also, having permanent employment, and I finally got myself an office. The last two jobs I had, I actually had my own office, although I think the first one I only had it as my own because I wasn't interested in hiring somebody else to do the job, which was wrong. I really should have hired somebody else to do a lot of the piss work so that I could concentrate on better things. I did the whole New Mexico Tech job wrong from the very beginning. It was wrong, wrong, wrong. I should have done it a thousand ways differently, but another one of the ways I should have done it was I should have found a junky little dumpy place in Socorro. I should have squatted in Socorro somewhere. Anyway, so I just wasn't thinking along those lines. Anyway, so yeah, I said, can I tell you, my whole job at New Mexico Tech, I don't know if I was the wrong person, which was probably true, or if it was simply just not I just did everything in that job incorrectly at several key junctures. I should have done something different. When it was time to bring on a student worker, I should have brought on the student worker and trained him up to do several things so that I didn't have to do them. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You know, I finally got office. I finally got office space. I swear. I really need to sit here and take this car back in and say, guys, I love you dearly. Every time I bring it in to get this problem worked on, you guys always say it's something else and you're wrong. Let's try again. I mean, let me tell you, the office I have is at New Mexico Tech. I cleaned it up a little. Today is exactly the same place I've worked in before. And maybe about a month and a half before I left Mesa Land, I got an office. And it was bare. Stripped down. Nothing to it. So anyway, just struggle all the time. So yeah, am I a good employee? No. In fact, I think I always scared everybody that I was going to jump anyway, because they just go, well, he's just not settling. And I think in hindsight now, as I look at it, I think a lot of people saw it that way. You know, it's like, you just don't seem to be settling in much, you know, you're not. You regardless. folks that I'm going to, or no, I don't think it was these folks. It was somebody. There is a cluster of jobs, classified level jobs, in Albuquerque. That I'm still being considered for, and one of them came up with now I've got also the Taffy thing. One of my antennas is in the back, and it's being tappity. I need to put the thing down on it so it's a little bit more a little better. Anyway, I talked about Lisa and I's 35th anniversary trip, going somewhere, and then they said, I think that's doable. I think we can schedule for that, for you not to be around for that. Because although it's a really big, we're right in the middle of something really major that we're going to try to do right then. And you go, a part of our bigger plan. And you go, okay, these guys are really big at the planning and I'm not. Which means I'm not a good project manager. Certainly a guy with the to bring in for certain things when you go, I don't have anybody to do that. Can we get somebody that we can get to do that? It's like, yeah. It's like, oh, all right. About the marketing, I've got this little website out on AWS, and I just threw some stuff up for this job offering, and I'm almost kind of thinking that I kind of wanted it to turn into the gunslinger thing. I started calling myself the gunslinger, and it started kind of sticking because I think it was authentic when I was working at Eastern the last time, because they'd say, he just knocks that stuff out. It just gets out there, and I think that's what most people want, even though they do want a skill set. They definitely want somebody who can really knock it out of the park. And it says, yeah, it's going to be one-off things. It says, this isn't going to be like your whole Ansible thing, although if you want me to set up Ansible, I suppose I will. Weird hours and, things that other people don't want to do, who have nice, stable, steady jobs and don't want to get wrapped up into things. And the fact that I'm in some weird place in the middle of nowhere, nobody's heard of. Six shooter sighting, man. Didn't get a whole lot better than an old railroad town, man. That's all it was. But I've got good internet. Good enough to do what you need me to do. God, no teaching kind of guy. So anyway, yeah, I like it. I know that these recordings are different, so that's why I don't put them out there and say, hey, everybody, listen to this. You'll learn something. It's like, no. Well, you might. I don't know. That's not really that important. I'm glad I got my recordings down to where I can record a few hours without having to make changes and do things like that. So anyway, yeah, this guy put me on the contracting, and it's like, wow, whoa, hey, woo! I need to get some more terms so people know what I'm talking about, because I do want regular infusions of money. Maybe I don't. And throw people at it, man. I don't know how independent I want to get. Lisa's real nervous about things like that. Californian sorts, probably. People who are used to traffic and you don't have to get the right thing. That's okay. Welcome to the Wild Wild West, baby. Woo! The Wild Wild West. Oops. Wild West. Wild. So, the Tech Slinger. So, I like it. I don't know if I need to stop my recording now. Anyway, so, I got this job, this opportunity here. You tend to have kind of a mating service. Anyway, so a lot of adventure, and doing new and interesting and bizarre things, and getting paid pretty handsomely for it. Anyway, so there's this one where they're, I don't know what they're doing exactly. I don't know what they were asking for, but it's only a 6-month contract, which is like, that sounds about right. That sounds pretty good. Says, I'm not going to come in here and get comfy because I'm not into comfy. I'm going to get in here and get stuff done. And I'll even put up pictures of my family because I just really don't care. Anyway, so I need to stop now because I'm thinking too hard. Okay.